Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sea Change Podcast. I am your host, Jenna Valente, and this is your go-to show to meet the most interesting and inspiring people living, working, and recreating along the American shorelines. And not only welcome to the show, welcome to the most wonderful time of the year. No, not the holiday season, silly. The winter solstice. And we are coming to you once again with my favorite collaboration in this here podcasting space. It is the seasonal poetry celebration that we host every solstice and equinox in collaboration with Portland Poets Society and poets around the country and even around the world. These episodes have become some of my favorite things to do on this show because, in addition to featuring artists' work, they, meaning the episodes themselves, become an art piece that kind of creates itself because I never know who or how many people are going to submit their work, and even further, I have no idea what they are going to submit. And for those of you that may be newer to these episodes, for some context, they were born from an observation I had about how intrinsically intertwined art is with nature and this curiosity I have about what the experience of changing seasons is like for others and what the changing seasons bring up for others. Because personally, I feel like every season, especially here in the northeastern United States, have very distinct energy and call me to create and experience the world in sometimes drastically different ways. So every solstice and equinox, we put out a call for poets and writers of all experience levels, for people that call themselves writers or not, or poets or not. This is a great space to try something new without having to stand up in front of an audience of people and read your work. So we have people that are really, honestly, they're from brand new to published writers from anywhere around the world submitting their work. All we ask is that it's steeped in the essence of this season. So with that, it is my pleasure to welcome you to join me in celebrating the winter solstice with a sea of poetry. And one more thing before we jump into the poems, to honor the artists' experiences with the seasons and their creations, we do not censor their content. And because of this, I also would like to offer a content warning. There may be subject matter and language in this episode that could possibly be more explicit than some people care to listen to, or maybe is not suitable for young listeners. I trust you to use your best judgment. And if that sounds like you, I'll pause for a second for you to hit pause. And please join me in welcoming our first poet, Alora.
Nancy told me to take a three-quarter turn, a few steps around the thing to shift my eye. Lamenting the dandelion, half my height, full mast in the corner of this graveyard of a garden. But weeds are only what we don't want growing there. The shifting eye of value, money, is a construct. And so are weeds. The tenacity of these vibrant leaves, her golden face feeding in the late harvest sun. Isn't that the value itself? The radical resilience of a tree snaking up through a stop sign, turning away from the precipice again and again and again, counting the victories compounding as failures, discredits the sheer brazen will it took to arrive here now. The steep cost to subvert the greatest. A bobberlure in a tree, neon pink Christmas bauble with fishing line for tinsel, and the storm that stokes in me. But see, Nancy told me to take a three-quarter turn, a few steps around the wrong to see the right. She will reclaim whether we damn the deed or not. Our fleeting starburst, just another ring on her tree. The way nothing is ever lost. Felled branch at the pond's edge, a shipwreck beneath rust-colored waves consumed by mossy depths. Reclaimed as with all things. Since the start, nothing has come or gone. It's just been. All matter from stardust and time, and like time, it's a construct. Forever. These 10-ton words we have no concept for, can only stumble in mother's too large shoes, can only play house. Even man-made, inorganic. As if all things did not stem from the one womb, our cradle, our tomb. So I take that three-quarter turn. Untangle this fumbled cat's cradle of nerve endings, fired synapses. To keep in focus the transience of being. That when I scorn the dandelion, I'm only scorning me. Curls of dead grass frost the lawn. As precious and poignant as vibrant turf. As dandelion spring, as the way you once looked at me. Learning to quarry beauty from the mundane, from beauty's second face, half-hooded eye and lying frame. Fancy myself a knot on a tree, dreaming I'm a wave. Isn't a poem a trip? Wind swells through me, chiding, no marble whittled in one strike, bud snipped before green crowns. What was that again you said about souring the pot? Tell me truly, am I not gnarled root, sashaying limb? Don't you see my grimace in the curtain of wrinkling bark? I once stowed my secrets beneath the mattress. You called my vapid navel-gazing poetry, reveled in the fizzing starburst that ignited in my chest. These nesting doll gifts, distillations of your knowing me, making glass of bark. Your whisper sweet to the bugs boring beneath, as if to gold flakes in a stream. How long did it take to carve the belly from that book? To kiss together every page? Tidy tomb, so unassuming, my holy and unbidden treasure. You said I rather ought to hide my trove out in the open, where someone might stumble upon, weeping terra firma, what I'd cast off as dust and sand. A confession on a note card in a library book. I fell in love a little bit then. I fall in love everywhere I go. Oh, why did I shelve you in my peripheral? Why didn't I knot the butt of that slipping rope? I let rot what begged fostering, let tingled skein fetter and fray. And when parched, I curse my passive eye, once skittered over blue gulfs wide, vain and vacant, touched, branch and bark, without naming. This false halcyon of time sloughed and sundered, but damn it to hell, I see all I forfeit. Can't tell I'm in the forest when all around are trees. Oh, just for once, only to see and to be seen.
My name is Isabel Carter, and the poem I'll be sharing is called Breathe In Deep. I wrote this poem back in 2019 after visiting the ocean in the middle of the night, in the middle of winter, and I wanted to write something that would remind me of what I saw and what I felt. Breathe in deep. Exhale slow, just as the ocean moved on that cold winter night. Like the ocean, the possibilities of your life are vast and plenty. Remember how the stars met the horizon in a gentle kiss. So will all the things that you want, they will come to you. Just breathe in deep. Things are forever changing, moving. Let the waves move through you and change you too.
My name is Gary Sorcher. This is a poem called Tumbling, about big cosmic love, how it sometimes ends, but can it really ever? and the universe's frustratingly persistent and simple truths. Tumbling. A crescent moon rises over Jasper Beach, as it always does, tipping the planet on its axis. That sacred seam knitting ocean to volcanic bedrock, where we once knelt together, our very chemistry changed, our whirling electrons finally calm. The rollers offshore gather momentum, as they always have, and reluctantly turn to waves. Heaving solemnly, dutifully, towards the boulders on the ragged coastline, sanguine persistence of water meets the stubborn inertia of rock. Eventually, the inevitable shearing along an ancient cleavage line, a time-worn weakness that would always crack. A dazzling explosion of frothy salt water and silica, momentarily transilluminated against the few remaining gray-blue clouds. We know the rules, the laws of this universe, the daily sinuous tradition of sloshing tidal waters, the expanding, the contracting, the slow, monotonous rounding of sharp edges towards glass. And on this beach, you kneel again to examine a small piece of primordial rhyolite. Still cold from the long journey, I watch its atoms begin to rearrange in the softness of your hands, your palms, paws clasped together in the fading glow. For just one moment, that's all it needs. The pebble finds warm respite, as it always will, before you send it back to sea to tumble for another billion years.
Hi, my name is Grace Sleeman. I'm a poet living and working in Portland. And I spend a lot of time and energy in my work trying to interrogate and express what it means to move through the world as a sensitive person who kind of like I wear my heart on my sleeve, and as well as somebody who goes through the world like seeing meaning in everything and seeing love and tenderness in everything. And so I think a lot of that is reflective in nature and in the changing of the seasons. And I have three poems today. The first is called Love Poem for an Ugly Woman. I'm sitting on a cold stoop in November with my boots pressed against brick, and I can hear the howl of the garage rock band inside. The lead singer's not pretty in the same way I'm not pretty, which is to say that she is wearing a skirt that she probably got from the cramped racks of a church basement charity store, and she's wearing black lipstick that's a little smudged, and she is screaming with her hoarse voice, which is not pretty. Ugly women make such beautiful martyrs. I can hear her wailing even as I pull on the skin beneath my eyes in the red-lit bathroom just to see what I'd look like if I were pretty. I heard that pulling on your eye skin makes it sag. Good, I've always thought. Let me stay ugly. Let me keep the dirt beneath my fingernails and the makeup smudged under my eyes. Let me keep the soft jawline I got from my grandmother and her mother and hers before her. Let me keep my ugliness. The dirty little parts of me the world couldn't kill, the hair on my belly and the scars on my knees. Let me stay ugly and howling my ugliness until it echoes into the cold streets, the November nights, until my throat is shredded and the sounds are no longer beautiful. The second is called In the New Year, I Will Not Miss You. Instead, I'll peel all the garlic in my house and put a clove in each window to keep out ghosts. I'll set fire to the onion skins of last year and look in the mirror for too long until my eyes roll out onto the tiles and I have to crawl around on the floor so I can put them back in. I'll talk into empty jars and cap them so I can listen to my own voice later. The kitchen will still smell of last year's coffee, so I'll scrub every inch, toss salt into the corners over my shoulder into my shoes. I think I'll cut my hair. In the last photo I have of you, you're laughing, and it almost looks like you're going to reach through the frame and kiss me so hard I start laughing too. But you didn't, and I'm not missing you, so I will peel garlic instead, and oranges, and carry iron in my pockets. Give me your name, I'll just hold on to it. Look, it fits perfectly in the palm of my hand, I won't do anything with it. I wish I hadn't given you mine, and so this year, I am pulling threads out of my favorite dress to make it into something you never touched. Those two were originally published in a literary magazine out of Portland and New York, I believe, called Noise Magazine, published by Miles Brautigam. And this last one that I have for you today was originally published in a literary mag out of Brooklyn called the Kukash Review, which is which aims to elevate the voices of Pan-Arab and North African diaspora writers, and it's called Self-Portrait as Driftwood. It's February and the trees are bare. You love the Northeast, but you feel like the ground knows you here. Everything is the color of a bad dream you had once. Your mouth tastes like bile. Your boots are salt-stained and your favorite jeans have bitter mud on the hems. The sun is setting later and the light flattens everything into coming home to an empty house. You are a frame and nothing else. You've become hollow in this light. Outside your mother's house, the coyotes bark like laughing children. You are sorry to everyone you've hurt. You put your hand to the television screen, but you can't feel the static. What you say is, you want your mother. What you mean is, you want to be small again. Thank you.
My name is Rebecca Merrill, and I live in Portland, Maine. Every year on the winter solstice, I try to do a practice where I do something to honor the darkness and something to welcome the light. Recently, that meant I spent some time writing some poems on those themes. 38 longest nights, and still I rely on cliches to get me through. The first time I broke a bone, I was shocked that something bad could happen to me. The crack of pain I had never felt flooded my body, unsure I would ever be whole again. After the next fracture, I knew at the doctor it would get worse before it got better. My friends tried to comfort me, but I was better off alone. Again and again, my body cracked, and again, I wondered what the reason was that everything was happening. I slammed the taxi door closed in front of my office, opening another into a sea of unbroken people who didn't have a care in the world. I could not move my dormant limb cocooned in plaster. I would wait for time to heal this wound. These days, the hits keep coming, but the suspense no longer kills me. I have been down this road before and know there is light at the end of the tunnel. A list of questions for the scientists that discovered night is darkest before dawn. Did you pull out a ruler to measure the unseeable depth, or was it a scale to capture the weight of unknowing? What inspired you to grasp for data in the midst of despair? Did you know your troubles would make history? I have more. Is every night the same, and do you know how long this will last, and is there anyone else zooming in on the night sky to figure out if the end is near? Did you also know Mayans worship the sun? When you see the sliver of light on the horizon, is it also the closest thing to a miracle you have ever seen?
Hello, my name is Kit Foster, and this is my poem about winter. The woolly bear caterpillar said it will be mild, that fog and rain will frequent themselves more than the snowflakes stacked on the railing. My neighbor tells me to be relieved. But what do I believe when hope prevails, when desire wins truth, when the fractals of ice are the spikes of my vice? I want to feel cold in light of pain. Because a dense winter is denser than my brain, give me the fog of my breath, and I'll promise you I'll be alive enough to find peace. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Shoshana Violet Cotton, and I just published my first poetry book. It's called Uncharted. It's available on Amazon, and you can also find me at Shoshana Violet Poetry on Instagram. The first poem I'm gonna read about winter is titled, I Let Winter In. Winter, mid-morning light, displays dust on the dashboard. In the same instance that icicle intricacies perform around me, the willows crystallized, counting their blessings. Not always does rest look so majestic. Silver, stunning branches basking in light. I get out of the car and the cold bites my face, but I bite back, letting tinsel-colored solid water mesmerize me. I am grounded by the grouchiness I let dissipate. cold and kept from those I love. I am comforted by oxygen, by feather duster, pine limbs, and heartbeats 300 plus miles away. I can feel inner wheels turning that could take off in directions I'm not interested in going today. Instead, I let winter in. So that is a poem from my book, Uncharted. This next poem is going to be in my book that I'm working on next. And it's about a sweet moment in the morning with the sun. It's called Love Poem to Morning Light and Cilantro. I pause my kitchen pacing to witness the way light pours from the window to the countertop. Cilantro illuminated to the sound of mushrooms sizzling in the pan as the ice on the roof sparkles through the window. I am cooking and consuming. Light, my humanness needs more than sustenance even. I think I forget how hard the sun works in January. Not its busiest season, but loneliest. This morning at 8 a.m., I slice up grape tomatoes and avocado. Let taste of morning light wake my soul to mid-January peace, the acid, savory sensation of winter love. And this last one is about writing by the ocean in cold February. It's called Crying by the Ocean, Everything in Open. It's too cold to hold a pen by the ocean, but here I am, because I need to be soaked in my senses. I am always searching for the space that spice and spatial awareness mix. Give me the peppery potency on my tongue that comes with being young and getting older. Some days I wish I had more than feelings to show, but days like today, I know I'm nothing if not intense love people leave and look for. I would rather be crying by the ocean, everything in open, than anyone else at all.
Hi everyone, it's Jenna again. I am back to close out the episode with three poems of my own. The first two I wrote in the winter of 2021 during COVID lockdown while living in Somerville, Massachusetts. And during that time, I was challenging myself to write one poem a day, no matter how good or bad I thought it was, just to keep my mind and creativity active. And now, fast forward to winter of 2023, the beautiful thing about that is now I have enough poems just from that time, let alone what I've written since or before that, to fill two poetry books, which I am currently working on, assembling, and designing. So the first one is for all of the dog owners out there. Dog ownership in the winter, if you live in a cold place, can be kind of a really beautiful experience. Like, honestly, there's nothing more joyful than watching dogs playing in fresh snow. But also it can be really annoying if you don't want to go out in the cold. But of course you have to, because you're responsible for properly loving and caring for your pup. This poem is kind of about that. My dog was still a puppy at the time, and in that bitey stage where she was losing her razor sharp puppy teeth. And it goes like this. My fur beast is young in years, but long in tooth, and tugging at the cotton blend sleeve of my crew neck. Laboring to birth fang-shaped holes in this item I bought new, but only because it looks vintage. When the biting subsides, she will sit and she will stare, signaling to me that she has to shit. But it's cold outside, so I move slow, searching for warmth in each swirl of my bourbon and citrus as I prepare to head out into the snow. This next one is just from a pleasant encounter I had with a gentleman in a parking lot while I was walking outside in Somerville. I used to live next to a wine and cheese shop, and it was a particularly windy day, and it was a little bit odd because it didn't seem like too many people were out, and I ran into this gentleman, and we had a quick conversation that kind of just stuck with me, because he was sort of like, you know, if you picture a classic Boston guy, he had a really thick accent and just was kind of a character. So it inspired me to write this. Walking in winter, winds from La Nina blowing me through the liquor store parking lot and into a conversation with a middle-aged stranger who had just mopped the floor clean of yesterday's thirst. And we stood there wondering, where the hell did all the birds go? At least they don't have to pay taxes, though. Okay, and this last one is a brand new poem. I just wrote it as part of a workshop, actually, that Portland Poets Society put on, and the prompt was to introduce yourself. So this is what came up for me, thinking about identity and the season and, you know, just exploring that. And this is what came up. It is titled, I Am a Lady. I am a lady, at least I think, at least I feel, at least I have been told I am, or at least I should act like one. And don't I look so pretty slipping out of this dress like my youth slips off me, neither hurried or aimless. Moving with the seasons now, moving with my body now, spinning on this rock, waltzing with the world too small to contain me, too big to haunt the human condition. Now I am dizzy, so maybe I will fall to my knees, maybe I will try worshiping these withering leaves, maybe they will teach me the art of letting go, and how to bud and branch out and unfurl only when properly nourished and supported. Maybe I will love my way from now on, and maybe you will make a martyr out of me. I would like to thank all of the contributing poets that submitted their work to this episode today. You are the ones who make these episodes so special. I feel so fortunate to be in this position and read and create alongside all of you. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. I also would like to thank the listeners. You all, for the past 5+ years, have shown me so much love and support, and that does not go unnoticed or unappreciated by me. And I'm really excited for what is in store for this next chapter of the show as we head into 2024 and beyond. Come the new year, I will be stepping into the role as producer and editor of the show, as the folks at the American Shoreline Podcast Network and Coastal News Today will be taking a bit of a hiatus to rest and recharge and reimagine how they want to show up in the world as storytellers, podcasters, producers, and all of that good stuff. So adding a couple more titles to the end of my name, Jenna Valente, host, producer, editor, wearing many hats, but I'm very much looking forward to learning and growing in this role. I'd also like to extend my gratitude to the American Shoreline Podcast Network team. If you hadn't taken a chance on me all of those years ago and put a mic in front of my face and allowed me to celebrate the people that are light and leaders in this world, I wouldn't be where I am today. So thank you so much for believing in me. So again, thank you to the listeners. Thank you to the poets. Thank you to American Shoreline Podcast Network. and Coastal News Today. We will see you in the new year, and we are very excited for what's to come.